Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Amen. 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 Well, I just feel like the presence of the Lord is in this building. Have you already been touched and moved by what God has already done in the house? Amen. Welcome to church, everybody. Welcome to Release City. Hey, listen, if you're visiting with us for the very first time, you are what we call VIP, very important person. So if you're here, we kind of already skipped this, and I want to go ahead and bring it back. If anybody here for the very first time, just so I can see your hand, anybody, y'all give it up for our first-time guests. So honored to have you guys today. We typically do that earlier in the service, and with everything going on, I didn't want to bypass that. Listen, if you're here for the first time, there is a card in the pocket in front of you that says VIP. That is for you. If you'll take that card, fill it out through the remainder of the service, and you can even flip the back over and use notes, whatever you want to do. But if you'll drop that card off at the guest service desk on the way out, we have a free gift that we want to give you just for being here, our special guest. Give it up one more time for all the VIPs in the house. There's been a lot of giving it up today. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? There's been a lot of, but this is the thing that I know. God deserves every ounce of our praise. He deserves, because if he doesn't do anything else for you, he's already done enough. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. So great to be back with the Release City family. So listen, if you've been here the past few weeks, you already know that we are currently in a message series that we've entitled, Will You Carry It? Now, last week was part five of that series, but we didn't get real far because the Holy Spirit began to move at the end of our worship, and that's his prerogative. It's his service. He can do whatever he wants, and we just want to know that, make sure he knows that he can show up, and it's his service. Amen. And so that happened last week, and so we labeled last week part 5A, which means for all you educated people that this week is 5. See there, I'm talking about, y'all are just so impressive, just amazing. Part 5A in today, part 5B. If you brought your Bibles, let's go back to the book of Joshua. Everybody say Joshua. 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 And I'm going to encourage you to take notes today. I believe that note takers are history makers. Amen. And we're going to make some history with the rest of the time we have in our lives. I believe that that's what God has called us to do. Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to go back to verses 14 and 15. If you're there, say, we got you. I'm so glad. Here we go. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now fear the Lord and serve him. Everybody say, serve him. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River. I'm just going to use this moment to say that word, throw away what your ancestors worshiped. Let me just say it this way for us today in 2025. Throw away the things, or remove from your life the things or the distractions that kept your family, your parents, from serving God the way he wants them to. Do you hear what I'm saying? Throw away the things that distracted those who went before you from being all that God wanted them to be. It's time for this generation to be shakers and changers, to change the trajectory of where we're headed because of Christ. Are you tracking me? He said, so throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me, this is Joshua now. I don't know about you, but it's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, somebody say that with me. Say, my house will serve the Lord. Over the past 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit has been having me remind all of us that as members of the body of Christ, as followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility. Say that word with me, responsibility. That means that God has given you the ability to be responsible with what you have. Did you hear me? Responsibility means he has given you the ability, young people, God has given you the ability to be responsible with what you just were a part of for 3.5 days. Noah, I'm going to pick on you again. He has given you the ability to be responsible for what was just spoken over your life. It's already in there, but it's up to you to get into his word to begin to nurture, mature, and cultivate that thing. That's your responsibility. Now, that was Noah, but this is for you. He has also given you the ability to be responsible and to share with others what God has done for you. Because if you're not willing to share and be responsible, shame on you. Too hard? He just told me to say it. He has given, equipped you, given you the ability to be responsible. And that's what he wants. Whatever God wants to do in our city, whatever God wants to do in your family, the responsibility is on you. Say it's on me. It's on me. See, how many believe God wants to do something just mind-blowing in our city? When I say mind-blowing, I'm not talking about, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost or Ookie Spooky. I'm saying God wants to do something. He wants to flip tradition and religion upside down so we no longer see that, but we see him. And in order for that to happen, it's not going to be that God just comes downs. It's not that God is going to come down and do it. If it's going to happen, it's going to be through you and it's going to be through me. It's our responsibility to listen to the voice of God and then respond because we have the ability. Amen. But here's the deal. Our responsibility goes much further than you and I just showing up and rolling up in here every week. That's the easy part. Our responsibility is understanding that we have to take this thing outside the four walls of this room, outside the walls of this building. Look at your neighbor, tell him, say, church starts when we leave. Yeah, we've been saying that all this message series. So, last week we read Joshua 24:14, just like we did today, and there was an emphasis that was placed on the fact that we've been commanded and commissioned to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. That's what if you want to take away anything from verse 14, it's that. You need to fear the Lord. Let me say this. I'm not talking about scared of God. I'm talking about having a reverential fear of God. What's that mean? I just think there's a lot of Christians that don't really fear the Lord because of the groups that they associate with. They don't fear the Lord because of the music they're listening to and the things they're watching on their TV screen. If we really had a reverential fear and a respect for God, we would do less of what we're doing and more of what he wants us to do. You don't have to, amen me, I know it's good. See, we've been commanded to fear the Lord and then serve him faithfully. Now, this particular passage of scripture, you could say, was Joshua's farewell speech. A lot of theologians believe Joshua was about the age of 110 when he penned these words, and this happened. But before he dies, he had something to say that he wanted to tell the younger folks because he had seen a lot. Now, as we began unpacking this thing last week, and we were reading Joshua, we could see how Joshua was having to remind the people that they had been chosen by God. Can I just stop right there and tell you? You have been chosen by God. Chosen. That's why God wanted Noah to know. You have been chosen to be my mouthpiece to this generation and the next. And my friends, he brought you here today to hear these words. You too have been chosen by God. Come on, somebody say, I've been chosen. What Joshua was doing, and I'm going to do the same here today with you, is he was saying, after everything that you've been through, after everything that God had done for them, after everything that God has brought you through, Release City, after all the miracles they had seen, the Red Sea being split up, they still had to be reminded that God chose them. And somehow they seemed to have forgotten that after all they had seen, after the manna being sent down from heaven, even then, they still had to be reminded. I don't know about y'all. Has he ever opened up a sea for you? Anybody ever been to the beach at Daytona? Anybody ever just seen the water split and you get to go out there to the... I'm not talking about going out there to the sand... what do they call that? What? Sandbar. I'm not talking about the sand. I'm talking about like way out. Anybody? Anybody? Well, it happened for them. They had the enemy running after them. And he said, boop, you wouldn't have to convince me that I'm chosen anymore. But think about the things that God has done for you, ladies and gentlemen. Think about the things that God has brought you out of. Think about the addictions that he has broken. Well, he hasn't broken my addiction. That's because you're still holding on to it. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to go, give me that. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for me to go, I give you this, God. So if you're wondering why you're still dealing with that addiction, maybe you need to get to a place where you can let it go. I just break out in song right there. Y'all know what movie I'm talking about. Let it go. What's that movie? Frozen Chosen. That's like a lot of our churches, the Frozen Chosen. That's why we want to be real bold and exuberant in our worship, because I don't want God to look over and go, man, that's the Frozen Chosen. They chosen, but they frozen. No. We're going to be excited about what God has done. Amen? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'll use anything to teach the Word of God, even a Disney movie. Say this with me. Say, God has chosen me. The question isn't, does God love me? The question is, do I love him? The question isn't, will God choose me? He already has. The question is, will I choose him? After Joshua had spent time reminding them of what God had brought them from and out of, he says these words in verse 15. He said, but if serving the Lord, see, I remember what I told you last week, serving him like a Chick-fil-A employee, my pleasure. Oh, man, I got that text. I got to be an usher today. That's not a Chick-fil-A employee spirit. That's your flesh. Remember what I told you about your mind? It'll keep you from receiving. Listen, it's not about you coming in here and doing a roll and flipping lights and changing diapers. It's all about serving in the kingdom. But he said, if serving is undesirable to you, who am I talking to? This microphone on? He said, if it's serving is undesirable to you, then choose who you're going to serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. In essence, he was saying, it's your choice. Then Joshua says, and I love this, he goes, my voice has so much authority that when I say, it's not just that I'm choosing to serve, but I have enough authority to declare that for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, there's some parents that make that statement, well, I'm going to serve him, but I don't feel responsible to make sure that my kids do. If you got kids still living under your roof and you come to this church, coming with you should never be an option. Never be an option. That was weak. I know, because it hurt too much. It's our responsibility, and God has given you the ability. He's placed responsibility on us as parents to make sure we're teaching our children the way And there's only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you make bold statements like that, expect the enemy to come after you. I stood on this platform just last week and made bold statements of, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I put those exact words in your mouth. Can I tell you, it was less than 24 hours before the enemy attacked my house? And I recognize that. I don't blame it on a person. I recognize what the enemy's doing. When I put words in the body's mouth that the enemy is saying, no, I'm trying to divert them. I'm trying to distract them while the pastor's preaching with all this other stuff. I'm trying to get in their mind so it doesn't take hold. And then he stands up and makes bold statements like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you begin making bold statements like that, expect the attack. But remember this, it's not a person. It's the devil. So I wasn't blown away. I just said, nah, devil, I'm still going to serve the Lord. You can do what you want, say what you want to. My mind does not change. What I'm saying is some of y'all need to have that same tenacity that goes, doesn't matter what happened to me this week, doesn't matter what happens in my house, it will not change my direction. My feet are set where I'm headed. I feel the presence of the Lord up in here. God, I'm believing for somebody to play a B3 organ, to set up on the stage and give a message with me. I call it. I want it. Don't laugh, Jack. It's coming. See, I remember something. Brittany Nicole's going to remember this too. I remember something about being raised in Dennis Weber's house. Dad would always tell us, I know what the neighbors do. That ain't this house. Well, he wouldn't use the word ain't, that's me. Dad was very politically correct in his verbiage. He would say, that is not happening in this house. Amen? Britt, yeah? He said, I know what the neighbors drink and smoke, but that's not happening in this house. I know what they watch and what their parents let their kids go to the theaters and watch, but that's not happening in my house. That's actually what he said, my house. In case there was any question of whose house it was, it belonged to Dennis, yes. He said, he would say things like, they may be okay with sleeping around, but that's not okay in my house. He says, as for me and my house, he would say it time and time and time again. As for me and my house, we will. You didn't have an option. You will serve the Lord. That's what he said. Some of y'all need to take on the spirit of DW sometimes. For those that didn't get the opportunity to meet him, you will after you meet Jesus. Amen. Let me tie all this together real quick, and then I want to give you four things that you cannot forget, and we're going to go home. Write this down. The greatest church that can ever be built is not a structure that people pull up to. On the weekends, the greatest church ever built is your home. That building that is going to look amazing. First comment on a post that I did on Facebook of the plans, my good buddy that I went to school with said, what in the world are y'all building, a baseball stadium? I said, no, my friend, but there'll be a lot of home runs hit in that room for the kingdom. Some of y'all been like, well, that sounds like shots were fired. May have been. That's okay. But I clear it up real quick and say, nah, it's not going to be a baseball arena, but it's going to be an arena where lives are changed for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so that's going to be an amazing building. The structure is going to be unlike anything you've seen in this area. But that's still not the greatest church that he's concerned with. The greatest church is your home. The greatest church is where you live, where you reside. That's the greatest church. As a matter of fact, Mark 8:36 says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his very soul? What's he talking about? He's talking about losing what really matters. Facebook and Instagram and tickety-tick-tock and all these things. They got all this stuff that's trying to convince you this stuff matters. And we'll go broke trying to get it, and it doesn't even matter. The Bible says the things of this world will fade away, pass away, but my word will remain forever. But we're holding on to all these distractions. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He's basically saying, what does it matter if I gain the acceptance of everybody in my neighborhood and still lose my family? Let's talk about things that matter for a minute, can we? Let me ask, what does revival in this church house matter if there's rebellion in your house? Just take a deep breath, because I got more. What does it matter if revival breaks out in this house, but there's turmoil in yours? I want to give you four takeaways that you must never, ever forget. Every single person should have something to either write on or a phone to put this in. It's four things, and I feel like you're probably pretty good in memory, but I'm going to encourage you to write it down because you're going to need to remember this. Do not forget. These are not 4 points that you want to write down and tuck away somewhere to forget about. Here's the first one. Are you ready? Your home is holy ground. Your home is holy ground. Joshua has this unique encounter, much like Moses did. And the Bible records that in this encounter, he is told to take off his shoes, for the place where he is standing is holy. I tell you guys all the time how there'll be pastors or leaders from the community that come in and we'll meet in the cafe or something and be like, hey, do you mind? Can we get a tour of the building? I'm like, it's nothing special. It's an old Walmart. You know, I'm like, we still got the original tile marks. And they have, we want to see. Every single time they always say, you can feel the presence of the Lord in this place. You can feel, there's nobody here but me and that other pastor or that other person in ministry. You can feel the presence of the Lord in here. You know why that is? Because we've converted this place and recognize it as a place that's holy before God. And your house should not just, you shouldn't just look at it as mi casa, su casa. A little Spanish there for you. Impressed? You should look at it as this place belongs to God and it's holy. And sometimes you gotta remove things from the dwelling place that is unholy to make sure that your house remains holy. Listen to me very clearly. This auditorium, this sanctuary, the next one soon to come down the street, should not be more holy than your living room. I'm not being judgmental, but this will change your life. When it comes to sanctification, when it comes to living a life that is holy and pleasing before God, hear me, this is what God showed me. If you won't do it in here, don't do it out there. If you won't have those conversations in here, y'all know which ones I'm talking about. Woo-wee! Did you see her? All my married men just got real quiet. If you won't have that conversation in here, you shouldn't have it out there. Matter of fact, if you won't watch it on these screens, you shouldn't watch it on your screen. Whether it's a TV or the one that you commit so much of your time to. I mean, think about it. Think about the last bad movie you watched. And I'm not talking about you give it a 1 out of 10. I'm saying, you know, bad movie. Would you watch it here? Don't answer that out loud. See, God tells Moses, Build me a sanctuary because I want to dwell with the people. Now, I grew up in an era when people would call your house. I grew up in an era where someone would call your house and they'd say, hey, I'm getting ready to stop by. Y'all remember those days? Now y'all just drop by. I was in the neighborhood. That's messy, y'all. But I remember when you get the phone call, Dad and Robin, hey, somebody's coming over the house. I need this place to smell like Clorox. Just put everything away. What if God, Jesus, just rolled up at your house unexpected? Would what he sees, would it grieve him? We used to do a drama skit way back in the day. Brittany was just a little thing. She may not remember, or they may have did it later, but it was Jesus came by and he knocked on the door and they opened the door. And he's like, well, hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Well, I was just going to come by and hang out with you. Jesus, it's really not a good time right now. Maybe come back later. But that's how we treat him. He said, I want to dwell with you. That means I want to inhabit the same space with you. Let me tell you something. In order to have your home to be holy, you got to have the Holy of Holies in it. You got to have the Holy One in it. You don't run here to see the Holy One. You take him with you. Will you carry it? Maybe I should tell you that God is trying to get in to your house. Is he invited? What am I saying? Get your house in order. Write that down. I need to get my house in order. Somebody said, oh, my house is good. I doubt it. Because there's no perfect house. And I don't mean just put it away. I mean let it go. Am I talking to anybody today? Well, let me ask it this way. Is God talking to anybody today? In the Bible, there's a story about this guy by the name of Obed-Edom. Anybody remember that guy? Probably not. Okay. His name is Obed-Edom. And the Bible says that the Ark of the Covenant was parked at his house. It was there. It was being housed. The Ark of the Covenant, which housed the presence of the Lord. It was staying at Obed's house. And the Bible records, this is in 2 Samuel, the Bible records as long as the ark was there, the blessings of God would flood his home. What am I saying? Church is not a building. Church is wherever the presence of God is hosted. That's why you can come here and you feel the presence of God. You're being exposed to it because we host it. But what you need to do is say, I'm taking some of that with me to my house, and I want to house and host the presence of the Lord in my house because I want the ground to be holy. And see, when you make a conscious effort to do that, you'll have less garbage and drama going on in your house, and it will be holy. Remember what I said? If your house is going to be holy, you got to invite the Holy One to be there. Everybody say, church is not a building. You can have church at Starbucks. Amen. You can have church in the line at Chick-fil-A. Amen. You got to be quick though, because they quick. Amen. They're good. I love Chick-fil-A. Never been disappointed with Chick-fil-A. You can have church in the Walmart parking lot. You can have church in your car. It's not a building, ladies and gentlemen. Number two, your home is your first church. Your home is your first church. And I'm a kind of a different pastor, so basically what I'm saying is I don't want people being more committed to this house than they are their house. Because home is your first church. I made a promise to our leadership team back in 2020 when Dad and I transitioned. My role is to make sure the ministry keeps a healthy pace. That's why because there was a need. We went to double services as summer approached. Families are taking vacations. That's okay. We're going to do the same this summer. But it would wear out the team and the volunteers. And so we said, you know what? I made a promise. We're going to keep the church healthy. That's why we're not trying to have 5 nights of church. There are churches that do that. We want to have something every single night. Listen, you can't put an emphasis on this house if you're not making sure your house is right. Because again, what does it profit if we have revival here, but you got chaos rolling through the halls of your house? Paul writes in 1 Timothy 3:5, he says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Amen. Say that word with me, responsibility. This is so interesting to me because before he starts teaching and talking about building sermons, he's teaching about stewardship. What are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with your finances? Is God in the mix? Is God in the picture? He's more concerned with stewardship than your happiness. I need one of those buttons that does a chirp sound of a cricket. I know you are. And I'm not nervous about it. The silence does not make me nervous anymore. Because right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm listening to him. It's a pretty cool job. It's a pretty cool responsibility. As I'm speaking, he's talking. Or actually, as he's talking, I'm speaking. How many believe you're here on purpose today? Yes, you are. Listen, we're talking about hosting the presence of God in your house. To all the moms, Proverbs 31 declares it this way. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. I told you a couple weeks ago that the greatest measure of success as a parent isn't what you leave in financial, leave for them in monetary ways. It's the legacy. That's the greatest success of being a parent, is when you can leave a legacy worth mentioning. Because they'll go through your money. They'll spend it. I'm not saying that it's not necessary, because we got life insurance. We got all that, right? But make him the priority first. Not only is your home holy ground, not only is it your first church, number three, your home will be attacked. Your home will be attacked. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, in the New King James Version, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not, what? Depart. Everybody say, train up. When I think of training, I think of military. In other words, what God is saying to the parents in the room right now, prepare your children for warfare. Young people who just experience the presence of God, expect the warfare. Expect the enemy to come at you. And I'm going to go ahead and just let you know this. He's probably going to give you a break for the next few weeks. And you'll be like, oh, I'm good. Pastor B lost his mind. He don't know what he's talking about. No, the attack's going to come when you go back to school and you get around all those other friends who didn't experience forward, but they were out experiencing other things and they weren't moving forward. They were going back. Hello. The greatest attack is going to be when you got to tell your buddies, no, I can't be a part of that conversation. I can't listen to that music. I can't do that. See, the enemy's quick to come in. Matter of fact, the word that you're hearing right now, the enemy's going to do everything he can to distract you before you even get home today, to make you forget about the fact that you've been chosen, you've been commissioned to fear God and serve him faithfully, not serve him diligently, not serve him when it's convenient. Teach your children about warfare. Hear me. Don't just teach them how to Dougie. Teach them how to study. Teach them how to read the word. Teach them how to worship. Teach them how to pursue God. Teach them how to fast, even at 12 years old. Little buddy, no candy bars for 30 days. That's how some of y'all act in January when pastor comes up and says, corporate fast. I will not. And you won't have holiness in your house either. Because to have something you never had, you got to do something you've never done. Will you carry it? Teach your children the ways of God. Joshua, Brittany, and I are products of parents and grandparents who were great examples of what it meant to pursue God, even when it wasn't popular, and even if it meant that that you were having to do it alone. They trained us up in holiness and righteousness. They trained us in the way that we should go. And as I'm getting older, the students put in green glitter in my beard, just the gray. Well, actually, I said, just put it in the gray. And they said, well, that means you got to put it all over. Train your kids to be holy and righteous. So remember, the attack is going to come to your house first. The attack is coming to your house. We see, let y'all listen, I'm almost done. We see this clearly in Scripture from the very beginning of humanity. Everybody say, the attack is coming. Adam and Eve, they were under attack. Their marriage was under attack. Adam did not lead his wife well, so dysfunction came into their entire family. What am I talking about? Their son Cain killed his brother. Their son, one son killed the other son over a rivalry that began as an offering. That means you can be in here and feel the presence of God and hold your wife's hand and man, this is going to be a great week. And the enemy will turn what was worship into warfare in a hot minute. And y'all married couples know it's true. Don't be a pawn of the enemy. Did you hear me? Don't be his pawn. They went from a worship service to a warfare service. Listen, Cain had jealousy. I'm talking about the attack will come to your house. He had jealousy, so he killed Abel. What am I saying? The first murder ever committed was in the home. There was nobody else on planet Earth. First murder ever committed on this earth happened in the home. Samson loses his strength in a home. What about King David? He wasn't defeated on a battlefield. He was defeated on a balcony at home. Jacob steals from Esau at home. Sarah and Hagar become the real housewives of Canaan, fighting over Abraham at home. In case you're missing the pattern, your home will be attacked. It's a pattern. And the devil does not change. His MO, his main objective, has never changed. It's to destroy and completely annihilate your family. It's your responsibility to protect your house. Where's all my men who have wives at home and kids at home? Or you have somebody in the house with you. It's your responsibility to guard and protect your home. If you're a man, you should be writing that down or putting that in your phone. It is my responsibility to protect my house. Period. Amen. That's the bad news. Can I give you good news? I'm almost done. Y'all ready for the magic word, aren't you? It's two. You ready for it? In closing. Number four, this is the good news. Your home is covered. Your home is covered. The Bible says in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter and 13th verse, he said this, he said, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over. We've already talked about this a few weeks ago. I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know what I love about that? It didn't say, I want to do an inspection of the house. I see the blood, but I want to know if what's going on the inside is perfection. I want to make sure that you're doing right. He didn't say that. He said, you put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of your house, and I will pass over it. Because many of us sitting here today, if he was worried about your perfection, he'd just take you out. He'd take me out. He's not concerned with you being perfect. He's concerned with you pursuing holiness. Some of you are here today because your house was covered. Like you're here right now on planet Earth because your house was covered. I'll never forget, there were times when Dad would literally go out and anoint Brittany's car. She needed anointing on her car because she drove like her mama. Sorry, B. I love you, Britt. You can go to our house today, which is the home where we grew up, and you can see his little finger mark over the door of our house where he anointed it. Our house is covered. Is your house covered? I don't know who I'm talking to, but you need to hear me. I don't care what the attack of the enemy, or I don't care what the attack that he has planned for your house. Your house is covered under the blood. I don't know what scheme the enemy has planned for your children. Your children are covered under the blood. Though the weapon may be formed, it shall not prosper. That doesn't mean it's formed and it stays in the what do you call that thing? That thing, whatever. I'm not saying that the weapon won't be drawn back and let go and actually pierce. The Bible just says it won't prosper. What's that mean? The devil's trying to kill you. You may get wounded. Hear me. You may have to go through something that hurts, but the arrow will not, it's not going to take you out. What's the arrow for you? What's the arrow for you? What's happening in your home right now? It may be formed, it may be released, it may hit you, and you go through a season. But as long as you will stay connected to the Father, see, it's our disconnect that causes us to experience greater heartache. Did you hear me? Stay connected. He never said that it would be easy, but he promised, I will be with you always, even until you take your last breath. I can look back over my life and all the stupid stuff I've done. And even when I was doing it, he was with me. You know how I know that? Because his conviction on my life and reminding me, you have a calling on your life. You can't do that and be where I want you to be. What was that? Touch two or three people around you, tell them, say, my house is covered. This story in Exodus was symbolic. The lamb's blood in Egypt was just symbolic of a blood that would come thousands of years later. And this blood, rain cannot wash away. This blood flows from a hill called Mount Calvary. This blood reaches to the highest mountain. The best days of my life, he's there. And even in my lowest moments, the blood still reaches to the lowest valley. This blood will give you strength from day to day. See, we're worried about next week. He's saying, just stay where you are. Just be present in this moment. Too many people let this get in the way here because they're already 5 days out from here. And you miss in a moment. Some of y'all are missing what I'm saying right now because you're worried about, man, the Baptist just got out of church. We're going to have to stand in line now. So if I hold you out here a little bit longer, but we got a window because there's another group of our fellow believers that we got to play it just right because they go just a little bit longer. I'm just messing with y'all. But I wasn't. I'm trying to tell you what God is trying to say to you in this moment. You cannot capture because your mind has already left the building. This blood will cover you in spite of you. Is anybody thankful for the blood of Jesus? Washes white as snow. His blood still has the power to cover you today. I want every parent in the room to stand to your feet, whether they are in under your roof now or not. You are a parent. Now, I want you to lift, parents, I want you to lift both hands towards heaven, right where you stand. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a decision that serving God in your house is not optional. Serving God in your house is not optional. For those parents who have kids that have already moved out, you still set the example. We talked about that at Father's Day. You don't stop parenting just because they're not under your roof. You still have responsibility. He positioned you. He gave you the ability to be responsible. They are still yours, even though they belong to him. It's not an option. As for me and my house, say it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And right now, I speak a blessing over your children that they would be the head and not the tail. I declare, like just like Joshua, that they will accomplish more than you have. Hello, Moses. Joshua accomplished more than Moses. I speak a blessing over your children that the battles that you faced, they will not have to deal with and they will not have to face. That curse, that attack is broken right now in the name of Jesus. That the mountains that you had to climb, they will not have to climb. I speak a blessing over your children that they will be protected from the schemes, plans, and traps of the enemy that he already has scheduled for them. And I speak a blessing over your children, and I declare that the God that goes before them, he is more than anything this world could ever throw at them. In Jesus' name. Fear the Lord. Everybody look. Everybody standing. Adam, come on. Everybody look. Everybody standing. Everybody standing. Everybody standing. You get to go to lunch and you get to go to lunch and you get to go to lunch. You get a car. You get a car. Fear the Lord. In other words, respect what he says by doing what he says. Fear him. And then serve him faithfully. That's pretty much it. That's your life from this day forward right there. Two things. There's a lot of other stuff, but two things. Because when you fear him and you serve him faithfully, all the other stuff just happens. The reason it gets jaded and twisted is because we're not fearing him and we refuse to serve faithfully. Come bless the house. Fear him, respect him, and serve him faithfully. If you believe it, somebody say amen and give Jesus Christ a praise offering. Hallelujah.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City, or just to stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, the best is yet to come.